It's Jeremy White.
We got summer is what we've got. Humidity and summer. 80s and 90s. I mean, it's going to be hot.
Are we allowed to complain or no? Because May was so bad that it was like enough of the 40s and 50s.
You're allowed. It will just reinforce my belief that 90% of life is asking when the current weather situation will change.
And Joe DiBiase.
I've been to Athens. Not impressed.
You were not impressed?
No.
The Parthenon was really cool and awesome, and the rest of it, eh.
Not impressed.
It's not what you think. You think you're going to show up at this city that's been around since the BC times, and you realize, oh, wait, they rebuilt this all in, like, 1850. If I want to see buildings that were built in 1850, I just go downtown.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, hey, everybody. Excuse me. Got a button to cough into if I need to.
There is a cough drop, it says.
Yeah, they call it a cough drop.
Although if I hit the button, a cough drop doesn't spit out of here, right?
No, that'd be next level.
That would be cool.
It's rainy here at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Our first rainy day.
Yeah, it rained a different day when we were not here. Maybe one of the afternoons or late mornings.
Okay.
Maybe like Friday last week it rained. Later in the session, it's not rained since I've been here. So we're here on Tuesday, and it was hotter than Mercury.
Yep.
And then today it's chilly and rainy.
Yep. And I remembered a quarter zip.
We both did. Look at us.
Quarter zip golf hoodie.
You know, they call this veteran. It's a veteran move from us, bringing the quarter zips. Both of us.
Yeah.
You know, you've been through these battles before. You know. Although I am in a current situation where walking from the car to where we are in the quarter zip resulted in rain falling on the quarter zip, and now the quarter zip is the thing that is making me cold.
Because it's wet?
Yeah. Mm. So what's the story on that?
So you should bring a rain jacket.
Yes,
next time.
That's right.
Over the quarter zip.
That's where we failed today.
And then you have and then you'll be good, because then you'll have the dry quarter zip when you arrive at the table. Or we could set up like a mini closet maybe in the corner here, like ready to go for when we get here. Could we hang some dry clothes back here just to save day to day?
Yeah, next year just
without anyone complain.
A full wardrobe.
Yeah. A chest, maybe like a closed chest that we could just hang out behind us. People think it's equipment. You open it up, it's just, rain jacket.
It's our clothes.
Sweater, yep.
And what's in here? Oh, yeah, the radio guys have a bunch of gear in here.
Yep. Yeah. It's just like there's clean underwear in there. There's clean socks. Just everything you need.
Yep. Well, we're here for another day, and the Bills will be back at Buffalo tomorrow for the blue and red. And guests coming up on the show today. We'll talk with Bills special teams coordinator Chris Tabor at 9:15. Mm-hmm. And then Bills special teams legend and wide receiver Steve Tasker coming up at 9:30. So that's on the slate today. We'll check in with Sal, of course. I've not yet booked what time that'll be. I figure, you know, he'll get here, or he came last night and he'll wake up. The kind of thing where, you know, Sal's pretty busy. So I thought when he wakes up, he'll say, like, what do you think?
When he's ready to walk over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll
with his coffee, he'll be good
for today.
Yeah.
So yeah, here we are, another day of training camp. And yesterday we got good news. Of course, the big news out of the way early: Maxwell Harrison, not a long term injury, not a season ender, not a month. So it looks like it'll be weeks. Could be ready to go about the start of the regular season. Which, you know, now we get into the conversation about, can he get mental reps, right? Will he be in these meetings and have an opportunity to kind of get up to speed, even though he can't be on the field? This is something that, for rookies, we've seen be a problem. Cole Bishop kind of led to a conversation that his whole season wasn't where it needed to be because he was hurt for so much of it.
Yep.
I hope we don't get into that kind of conversation about Harrison. Just, hey, yeah, he's banged up and he's got an LCL sprain. But the timeline is just like, a little blip, little speed bump, no big deal, hopefully.
Certainly good news. Feels like expecting him to play week one, not even because he's not healthy, but because of everything you just said, doesn't it kind of feel like a long shot right now that not again that he would be, maybe he would even be active for the game and would be practicing weeks before the game begins. But what are the odds now that they line up against Baltimore week one, Sunday Night Football, and he's even rotating in on the defense? Like, he's there maybe as a strict backup, and that is it for the start of the year. And maybe that honestly could be the first month of the season. I mean, Cole Bishop last year doesn't get in until there's an injury. So, you know, resetting expectations with Hairston a little bit, I think you kind of have to, because I just don't think it's really fair to expect or likely to expect that, especially that Baltimore game, that he's going to make any sort of impact.
Yeah. If you go 6 weeks from today, we are into the season.
Okay.
So what's the timeline? He could be ready for the opener. That's about 5.5 weeks away.
Ian Rappaport had 3 weeks, right, on his tweet yesterday, 3 to 4 weeks.
So the timeline is he'll be healthy. The LCL sprain could be good by the time we get to the end of the preseason.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks from today, the Bills are going into their final preseason game with Tennessee. Is it Tennessee? Tampa Bay, sorry. Tampa Bay, yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't think Tennessee.
No, I saw Buffalo Bills.
Started with a T.
Yeah, at T on my calendar. So, yeah, Bills at Tampa. So, he could be ready if it's a straight 3 weeks and he's healthy. He's good to go by Tampa. But, right, like, by that point, I don't know. Like, I don't think you'll put him out there. That's going to be a load management situation. Even if he's healthy, they probably bring him back slowly. How much do things really get derailed? I guess it's a camp storyline, and he's not out there for the rest of this. You won't be seeing him with the blue and red. All right. Mm-hmm. It's good news. I mean, I feel like you got to take it as good news. You get out of a training camp with nobody seriously injured to the point where they're missing actual time. That sounds like what Hairston is.
Yep.
Like, if they really – put it this way. If he's a 10-year vet, does he start against Baltimore? Maybe. If it's true.
Yeah, maybe.
If it's a true 3-week injury, then maybe. But as it is – he wasn't exactly projected to beat out Tre'Davious White through the first week or so of camp. So the whole thing seems to me like blip, just kind of move it along.
Like right now, I would sign up for Max Hairston being their starting corner for the first time in week 8. That is the week after the bye. So they have their first 6 games. They play Atlanta, Monday Night Football. Then they go to the bye week.
Yeah.
And then they come out of the bye week at Carolina. In week 8.
That's if everybody else stays healthy. I mean, if they need him in week 4.
That's true, right? And both their corners, as we've pointed out in the last couple of years, Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford have had their share of injuries. So that could happen. If everybody stays healthy, though, that's something that I'll be wanting to see, hoping that they have a plan for. That, hey, even if Tre'Davious White starts the year, assuming he doesn't look like Tre'Davious White of old. Like, if he's all pro Tre'Davious White, you're not taking him out of the game. But if he looks like he did last year for the Ravens and the Rams, or maybe even just a little bit better than that, then I'll be wanting to see the first-round rookie go in, and I feel like after that bye week, you'll have other new defensive pieces coming back in, too. Like, that's when I would like to see the whole thing get fully formed. Like, all right, ramping up for the postseason, you get Ogunjobi and Hoyt back, and that's when you put the rookie corner in to see what he's got. When you know the veterans back there anyway, if it doesn't go well and you start Hairston for 3-4 games and it looks like it's a disaster, then you'll have Trey White in your back pocket. And honestly, you could even file that under wrapping him in bubble wrap for the postseason if you want.
Do you feel like with the Hairston injury and Hoyt and Ogunjobi and their suspensions and also the way the Bills' schedule lines up, like they start with the Ravens and then it's Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, like –
not many top offenses in there.
Well, we'll see.
Not terrible.
We'll see about that. I mean, the Jets and the Saints, you wouldn't expect that. Baltimore, you would. Miami has a lot to prove. New England's maybe on the rise. Atlanta's interesting.
That's right.
They could find their way there.
But I'd put it this way. Like, there's only one team in there I'd expect to be a top 10 offense.
Yeah, that might be right. The thing I was about to ask is, do you feel like we're going to know anything about their defense 6 weeks in? Because if you think those offenses are not very good, and you know going in you kind of don't, I might think there's some biters in there. There's some teeth to some of those offenses. And I've got 3 guys missing slash working their way back. You know, we'll see. I mean, who knows?
Right, like evaluating what they are for January, which is the question about the defense. Nobody questions that they could be one of the top defenses in football during the regular season. They do that almost every year. They didn't do it last year, but they do it almost every single year. The question is, What does that defense do when they go and play the Chiefs, when they go and play the Bengals in the postseason? And for that, I don't think we're going to have some semblance of like what Milano looks like, right?
Yeah.
And, hey, how far along are T.J. Sanders? And is Deion Walker anything, or is he a healthy scratch? Is Dwayne Carter, same question, is he contributing at all, or is he a healthy scratch? Like, what does Cole Bishop look like? Cole Bishop might be the best guy to, like, let's find out about in the first 6 weeks. There are things to learn, but the totality of the defense, no. Like, honestly, you throw Bosa into that. I mean, Bobby Babbage early in the week told us, like, there's a plan for Bosa, and we knew that beforehand anyway. So how much are they playing Bosa? Him getting ramped up as the season goes on, Ogunjobi coming back, Hoyt coming back, Hairston maybe being a few weeks before he gets in there. I think we could definitely be sitting here after six games and saying, all right, they look pretty good, but I've got these four pieces that I all expect to be contributing for me either more or at all when I get to playoff time that haven't been on the field. And that would be the three guys we mentioned. And then I would throw Bosa, you know, if they are managing his reps, being a part of that too. If he's playing 40% of the snaps all year, I'm going to have in the back of my mind, like, well, you know, they might throw him up to like 70, 80% when we get to January. And that could look a little bit different.
803-0550, our phone number. We'll talk again with the Bills special teams coordinator coming up at 9:15 and Steve Tasker at 9:30. So a little bit of a special teams tinge to today. I was just looking this up. What percentage of football fans, NFL fans, could perfectly explain to you how the kickoff currently works?
Let me first ask, did they change anything from last year?
I will not answer that question because that's
giving me the answer.
That's part of it. They changed a lot last year, and then they had tweaks this
right,
year.
And
right. That you don't know if they did, I think is an indication that less than 10% of football fans could nail how the kickoff currently works.
Because I know what they did last year, but what they've changed from last year to this year, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah. Well, tonight's a Hall of Fame game.
I have no idea.
You might get an explainer. This is actually one spot where having a rules analyst on the broadcast is worth it.
Like, yeah.
All right.
The Hall of Fame game.
Yeah. Or yeah, Hall of Fame game and just explaining kickoffs. Like, all right, hey, everybody, I know you watched kickoffs for 30 years, and they changed it last year, and they changed a little bit of the change. So currently, and you watch this tonight at the Hall of Fame game, the touchback on kickoffs, touchbacks.
Yeah.
On kickoffs, not touchbacks on punts. Touchbacks aren't the same as touchbacks all the time anymore. That's one thing, of course, we've changed.
Okay.
Touchbacks on kickoffs come out to the 35. So if you're a kickoff into the end zone, touchback is a 35-yard line. Last year, that was the 30. And the return rate was not high enough. They did not like how high it was. Many coaches were comfortable kicking touchbacks in 2024. The league produced a return rate of 32%.
Okay.
Denver Broncos special teams coach Darren Rizzi, one of the primary architects of the new revamp to the 35, says the return rate should jump to between 70 and 75%.
Okay.
Now, a touchback, you give them the 35?
Yeah.
Good night. Nobody wants to do that. And while this is on every kickoff, the real spot to hone in on is there's a minute left in the game. What are you going to do? You do not want to boom it out of the back of the end zone. 5 years ago, booming out of the back of the end zone, that's what, the 25?
Yeah.
Or the 20? I mean, they've been playing with touchbacks forever. But now the touchback is the 35.
Okay. So more kickoffs, though. More kickoffs.
More kickoff returns.
More kickoff returns is what I meant. Yeah.
Yep. More returns.
Okay.
That's what should come of this.
I bet you're right that less than 10% of people know that that's actually happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The league is, you know, the dynamic kickoff, the kicker by himself, the teams where they are. That's one part of what you're supposed to know. And the other part of it is, of course, the actual kickoffs and where the ball is spotted. Like the opening kickoff tonight, let's say it goes through the end zone. You're watching this game, this Hall of Fame game between the Chargers and the Lions. Like, and that means the ball's at the 35. And the 35, I can remember, this is not that far back, But the Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl, if you remember that well.
Okay.
Part of the reason that the Patriots won that Super Bowl is because after the Panthers scored to tie it, John Casey, the Panthers kicker John Casey.
Lefty, right?
Kicks it lefty out kicker. Of bounds. And the Patriots get the ball at the 40.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yep.
Okay.
Ball is kicked out of bounds, and Tom Brady and the Patriots get the ball at the 40-yard line
right.
to drive for a game-winning kick.
Really?
Massive, massive mistake from a kicker there. You know, kind of
– yeah.
I bet in Carolina history it is remembered, but here or just around the world
– I mean, that might be their 13 seconds.
Kicking it out of bounds?
Maybe.
Yeah, how much time is left? Check that. How much
so
time?
So he kicks it out of bounds on the kickoff with 1:08 to play.
Yeah. Brady gets
tie
the ball
game.
At the 40. Imagine
right.
instead that's out of the end zone or that's a touchback at that time. Now a touchback is the 35. So think about
right.
what they've decided to do with kickoffs here and say how punitive it is to oh, you don't want to return? 35-yard line.
Right.
It used to be illegal play, 40. And now it's a 35 for a touchback.
Yeah, Brady on that drive only goes 27 yards.
That's the GOAT, baby.
To win the football game. He needed two 13-yard passes.
That's the GOAT.
Basically.
Two 13-yard passes. And, you know, Vinatieri drills the kick.
Yeah.
Is that the Panthers' 13 seconds? I mean, it's a special teams gaffe.
It's got to be. They probably have two, right? They have two, you know, like we have 13 seconds. We have Norwood.
They have that. They have the fumble, too. Is that
they, I was going to say they have Cam Newton's fumble and not diving into the pile for it.
That's pretty bad.
In the Super Bowl. And then maybe this is their other one. And
maybe.
That's probably it. I don't know what else Carolina. Did they have an NFC championship loss? That they could have one of those, and I don't remember. But,
yeah
that's pretty bad. I mean, really, that – and this is for the playoffs, too. Right? Mm-hmm. 35-yard line for the touchback?
Yep.
I mean, if you're presented with a similar situation to a couple of years ago, I think that you're more inclined even then not to kick it through the back of the end zone. I mean, Mahomes and Kelsey drove down without being at the 35-yard line. So you definitely know in those situations you're definitely not kicking it through the back now.
And speaking of your, you know, is this in overtime? Or sorry, is this in regular season or just playoffs?
Right.
Remember, there is an overtime change in the regular season. It now mirrors the playoffs. It used to be overtime in the regular season did not match overtime in the playoffs.
Right.
Now it does. Each team is guaranteed a possession, even if the first team scores a touchdown. So that is now part of the regular season as well.
Which is good because that is one where there is a real decision there. There is. Do you want the ball first? Do you want and the going for a two-point conversion and who would go for two and Shanahan kind of gaffing that a little bit in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago? It's happened so rarely. Is that the only time that we've actually seen that overtime rule? Has there been another playoff game where we've seen it? Because we saw it in the Super Bowl and Shanahan might have messed it up, and I'd like to see that tested. On who are the sharp coaches? Who knows, you know, who wants to do it this way? Who wants to, you know, you might actually want to wait to take the ball because then you know what you're going to need on that second drive. And that's a preference choice that I bet every coach in the league right now has, and we have no idea who thinks what because we've seen like two teams do it.
It's not happened much. And
I think that is that the only time it's that Super Bowl, right? I don't know if there's another playoff game that's
went to overtime. It's a good question. But
But now we'll see it more.
It's debatable on which is right. And, you know, you need more trials to see what everybody does.
That's the thing, right? Like, I'm interested in finding out what is the smarter choice. I feel like we don't know right now because, in part, we haven't seen it practiced. And now, if it's going to be in the regular season, we're going to see it, you know. I don't want to assume. How many overtime games are there a year in the NFL?
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Because that format – again, if you forget what happened in that Super Bowl, the Niners go down and settle for a field goal.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown to win the game, right? That's how that goes.
Right.
And Shanahan got crushed for that. But we also have, like, gamed it out so far where had the Niners scored a touchdown, the Chiefs would score a touchdown and then in that spot likely go for two.
Yeah.
Or does a team there kick an extra point, allowing the – first possessed team to then kick a field goal.
Right.
So, like, we got a game, because if every second team decides to go for two, now all of a sudden, first teams are going to start going for two.
Right.
Making it so the second team, sorry, it's too early to get into this game theory. We got our first football game, our first football game of the season tonight.
Hall of Fame game. They will not have overtime, right? I don't think they do overtime.
Half the time they call this game in the third quarter because it's raining.
That's also true. I think they eliminated overtime in the preseason.
Okay, good.
Officially. By the way, there were 16 overtime games in the NFL last year.
All right. Well, I'd like to see this format. So,
yes.
So good.
We're going to see it.
All right.
100%.
803-0550. If you want to join us, you can. 1-888-550-2550. It is preseason football season starting now, because you've got the Hall of Fame game tonight. I want to talk about the Hall of Fame class a little bit, so we'll do that.
Yep.
And also want to, you know, get your thoughts in on a couple things. The return of the Thursday three-way parlay.
Expanded now.
Expanded. We're expanding it for Big O. Now we got four people on the show, so Owen's jumping on this. We now introduce the fantastic four-way parlay for some Thursday night football action tonight with the Hall of Fame game. You're asking, can you possibly put together a four-way parlay on a preseason game? The answer is, yeah, and we're going to do it. You know, it's preseason for everybody. That's us too. So we'll do that later. We'll talk with Sal. We'll talk with special teams coordinator Chris Tabor and Steve Tasker as well, as we continue live from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
I want guys to have fun playing in the preseason, have at it. Winning is an important thing. My memories of preseason, some of my most favorite memories are from the preseason, because you played good, team won, you made a name for yourself. I mean, the opportunity is, it's like somebody's handing you this opportunity. Hope for all guys that they come out of this game like Tony Jefferson came out of the Cowboys game last year. Trayvon Morris Brash, his play, you know, him scoring a touchdown, you know, just the juice that football gives you.
All right, now I got to go down the rabbit hole and look up Jim Harbaugh's preseason stats. Some of my favorite memories are preseason games, because you played well and you won. I got to see. He is 11-8 as a head coach on preseason action.
11-8?
11-8.
Do we still have the Ravens preseason streak going, or did that die off a couple years ago?
I believe that ended. Mm. I believe that ended, right?
Yeah. I mean, preseason. I mean, I will give you $100 if you can remember who led the Hall of Fame game in passing last year.
Give me the two teams.
Texans and Bears.
The leader in Hall of Fame game passing last year.
If you can give me two of the six quarterbacks that threw passes in that game, I'll be impressed.
Okay.
Three are possible. Actually, even you could say five are possible.
Is there a Davis Mills appearance?
Davis Mills was second in that game in passing.
Feel good about that
he
one.
Threw 102 yards.
Texans played the who? The Bears.
Bears.
Okay. Is there What's his name? Oh, come on. Come on, hold on.
It doesn't rhyme with Peyton Niederman, I'll tell you that.
I know who it is. It's the guy that Chris Collinsworth said Patrick Mahomes could learn a little something from. Tyson Bagent?
Tyson Bagent was 2 for 3.
Let's
for 16
go.
Yards.
Let's go. Football's back.
He threw three passes.
I got Tyson Bagent.
Yep.
Then right.
Maybe
he said Caleb Williams could learn a little something from Tyson Bagent.
He said two things. I think there was that, and somewhere there is a Mahomes comparison with Bagent.
I mean,
they're shared in the same point somewhere along the way by Collinsworth.
Amazing. All right, who's on the broadcast tonight? It's not Collinsworth, is it? Is this an NBC?
I think it's NBC. Every year it's NBC.
Let's get another Tyson Bagent moment.
I'll double check that.
Okay.
Check Hall of Fame game. How to watch Hall of Fame game. It's going to be on,
you
like,
said $100
Pluto TV or
have
something.
Have I got the leading passer yet?
No.
Okay. The leading passer in that game is A.J. McCarron. No, he's with the St. Louis Battlehawks.
No, you got some perennial backups in here, though.
Okay. How about,
like, these are backup quarterbacks. Well-known.
Alex Tanny.
No.
Like,
if you know your backup quarterbacks, these guys are – Like, I guarantee you – these are two guys that I have no idea what teams they're on right now, but I guarantee you they're back up somewhere.
Chase Daniel.
No, but you're in the – this is Chase Daniel. That's this is the Chase Daniel club.
The Chase Daniel tier of quarterback?
This is the Chase Daniel club right here.
Who's the – not Jonathan Jones, but that guy. The guy that's –
I don't know what you mean.
The guy that plays for everybody. He played for – he
was. Oh, yeah. Both these guys have played for everybody. But this guy, one in particular, has played for everybody. And he's really bad.
All right, I give up. Wait, he's really bad. He played for everybody.
How about here's a hint? One of these guys. It's unbelievable. He's in the National Football League.
That's the Tim guy.
Yeah,
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle was in that game. Not the leading passer, but you have a former Bills backup that threw passes last year.
Matt Cassel.
Nope. Houston and Chicago.
Houston and Chicago. Bills backup.
Yep.
Oh, hold on.
I think he only spent 1 year as the Bills backup.
Listen, Case Keenum. Thank you.
Yep,
thank you.
And then finally, the guy who led the league in passing.
Led the game?
Led the game passing. Thank you. In the Chase Daniel club of backup quarterbacks is Brett Rippon. That's a backup.
That's a backup.
That is a guy. I don't know where he is. Guarantee you he's in the league right now. Somewhere. And he'll be in this preseason lighting it up. For the Vikings.
I just have to know.
That's what you're going to get tonight.
Jim Harbaugh's preseason stats. I have to know.
I don't know how far back you can go on those.
Not his coaching stats, his preseason stats. Some of my best memories are from the preseason. He did play in a time where players played.
Yeah, they did.
Like, what if Josh Allen said, some of my best memories are in the preseason? Like, you mean when other players were playing, right? One thing about practice. So here's a quick note about practice today. It rained a lot here, it appears. It rained on the whole drive-in. It's wet. Enough rain where we're in a covered pavilion, and the rain has come down and kind of seeped in close to where we are. So a covered space is wet. And I wonder about the field out here, like how well the conditions are going to hold up, what the Bills will do on a rainy field the day before they know tomorrow they're going to get a good workout in front of the fans at Highmark Stadium, right?
Right.
Highmark, turf, conditions will be fine. So I'm thinking back to the preseason joint practice and game with the Steelers,
yep,
where Josh played in the joint practice and it rained, so he didn't play in the game. And they'd said, well, he had a good practice against the opposing team, so they kind of pulled him out of that game, and that was the end of it. He played very sparingly in the preseason. I don't know, Joe, and maybe this is a question for Sal, or maybe something we just observed today, if the Bills have a contingency for wet field plan when at St. John Fisher. Because I don't know if they're going to come out on the turf. I would say that's unlikely.
I would think so, too.
They haven't been on this turf since
Rex.
Rex.
Have they ever been on it with McDermott?
Special teams, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
And Jugs machine, and that's about it.
And even when you say special teams, like the kickers. Like, they're not doing kickoff out here.
Yeah.
Or punt return or anything. I don't know. I feel like they probably would postpone practice or move it to another day if they can. They would just cancel it.
When there's thunder and lightning, they'll go inside this field house right here. Or not field house, but gymnasium that's behind us, right behind the stadium
here.
They'll
go indoors.
They've gone in there and done walkthroughs in there when it's really pretty rough from a weather standpoint. So
right.
We'll see. Chargers and Lions tonight, the Hall of Fame game. And the 2025 Hall of Fame class, it's Eric
it's small,
Allen,
right?
Yeah, it's it's also not exactly, if I may, it's not exactly murderer's row, excuse me, of like the best classes ever, you know?
Right. Like, Sterling Sharp,
who was great and is long time coming.
Yeah.
Antonio Gates, great tight end. Eric Allen and Jared Allen, and I just don't think Eric Allen's a great former defensive back, played with the Eagles, played with the Raiders. The 2024 Hall of Fame class of the NFL was Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis. That's a little better. I don't know. Is it worth splitting hairs like this? Maybe not. In 2023, it was Rondé Barber, Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas.
Yeah. All right. I think that's better than this year.
Yeah.
That's better than this year.
I'm going back each year to find the last really incredible Hall of Fame class.
Well, really, I mean, what makes a Hall of Fame class truly incredible? It is when you have one of the all-time great quarterbacks.
That's probably right. And that's where I'm – 2021 is Peyton Manning.
There you go.
Calvin Johnson.
There you go.
John Lynch, Charles Woodson.
That's a class.
Leading the way.
That's a class right there.
Yeah, you're
you have one of the best at his position ever in Calvin Johnson. You have one of the best quarterbacks ever in that class. Like, that's really what you're looking for. And, like, that's what year is that?
2021.
So that's a nice gap there. Next year, Drew Brees is eligible. So that'll be seen as a bigger class, I think, just strictly because you're going to have a quarterback.
Not just Drew
Brees. That's me assuming he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I think I would assume that.
I believe it's Brees, Rivers, Larry Fitzgerald, Jason Witten.
Yeah, that's strong.
And the player that people
Eli's eligible again.
You want to know who people are going to fight about? Yeah, if they go Brees and Eli next year, then we'll go ahead and put the Saints and the Giants in the Hall of Fame game right now.
Yeah.
You know who the fight's going to be next year about?
Who?
Eli, among others. Next year, the fight's about Frank Gore.
Oh.
Who's ready for the Frank Gore fight?
I've been waiting for the Frank Gore fight. Let's go. Oh, man, that is peak versus longevity to a T.
His peak.
I can't wait for that one.
His peak. He was probably never one of the five best backs in the league. His peak was good. He was good.
He was very good. Very good running
back. He had four straight 1,000-yard seasons, had an 853 in 11 games, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, in the span of from 2006 to 2015, Frank Gore had 1,000 yards every season except for two.
Okay.
And one of those he played 11 games. The other he got to 967. Like, if he had just dropped 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons, there'd be no keeping him out. And I wonder if those two tiny blips will. He rushed for 16,000 yards on the nose.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's like when you're pumping gas and you're trying to get it right to the exact cent. You're like, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
Did Gore get to 16,000 and tell the Jets, like, hey, don't put me
That's
in
it.
Again.
I like that number.
I don't want 16,008. I want 16,000 on the dot.
Might be an interesting fight next year on Frank Gore. You'd make the case against.
You know what's funny though? He had 99 touchdowns in his career. One more for the even total there.
But they're on the 1 yard line. They asked him, "You want the round number on touchdowns or the round number on yards?" I'll take the yards.
I mean, I'm ready for that one. I don't know if I'll have energy left because I'll be fighting with people about Eli again. But especially, man, the Eli fight gets more. It gets more. There'll be more of it next year because of two things. One, the debate is no longer about first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Now it's just, are you a Hall of Famer? Get rid of the first ballot part of it. And the other part of it is Rivers exists. Rivers being eligible makes Eli in that conversation even more interesting because now you have not just, well, does he get in because of the rings and basically only the rings because the rest of his career is really average? Well, now let me place this guy next to him who was definitively better than him the whole time they played football, but he never won. And now I put those two next to each other, and that's when I'm excited for next year now. Excited for the Hall of Fame takes next offseason. This year, right, there was not what, Jared Allen? Like, I didn't have really an opinion of whether Jared Allen should have been a Hall of Famer or not,
right,
personally.
Rivers twice led the league in interceptions thrown.
All right. How many times did Eli do that?
It's a good question. Probably more. 803-0550, our number. Happy Hall of Fame game night tonight. The game is on NBC, so that's Collinsworth and Tirico, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Very good. I saw CBS announced all their announcing teams are back.
Three times for Eli, by the way.
Three times.
For NBC?
Yeah. No, CBS.
For CBS.
CBS yesterday posted their announcing teams and who's all back. It's, you know, of course, Nance and Romo. And there in the court, of course, in the corner down the bottom left is your friend and mine, number one in our hearts, Gene Steratore. He's back for another season.
Okay.
Will we get a rules analyst?
How many years
tonight?
Of Gene is this?
How many years has it been normalized to get a rules analyst endlessly talking during a broadcast?
Yeah, how about Gene specifically? Has he been on TV for 5 years
how
now?
How many years has it been that you see more Gene Steratore on the television than Patrick Mahomes? It's been like 8 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah. John Perry might have been the first one who now works for the Bills, honestly.
803-0550, 1-800. 888-552-550.
Are we at a point in the calendar where if there was any chance that Tom Brady was one and done in the booth that we would already have learned about it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, CBS came out with theirs. Fox, I haven't seen them do that. And there's been that speculation, like, how long does Brady really want to do this? How well – I saw Greg Olson making comments about – he did a podcast recently about Brady kind of taking his seat when he had earned that seat. And maybe there's a little bit of tension there still. Not to say that's what would drive Brady out, but there's been speculation about him not doing this for the long haul. But if he was going to stop doing it, you know – by July 31st, don't you think we would probably already have had a hint that he wasn't going to do it this season?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Training camp coverage is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor. What you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Practice at 9:45. The forecast here at Fisher calling for rain for a little bit. We'll see how long that lasts if we get a rainy practice. It kind of looks like it might rain the whole day while we're here and while practice might go. So we'll see if the Bills have any sort of plans to change that. If that's the case, we'll let you know. Like, it's the kind of thing where, whatever, just flat out speculating. The field's wet. It's going to rain. They've decided they're not going to be outside. They would tell the fans and say, like, sorry, we've been rained out of the portion that fans would watch. I feel like that has happened before. Mm-hmm. And looking at the radar, let's just say if I was planning on golfing today, I would not think we're golfing here in Rochester. Like, here, you want to see? Here,
no,
I'll show the chat. Like, that's a lot of rain.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of rain going to roll through pretty much all of practice. And
So if you're coming out, bring umbrellas.
Look at that.
And rain jackets and maybe ponchos.
Look at this relationship we have with our listeners in the chat. I'm just showing them my phone, showing them the radar. That's what we can do.
In the weather.
The latest technology. We'll get a break in 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we return, a review of yesterday's press conference. Incredible. The incredible, the greatest mining of memes in the history of the Buffalo Sabres. Yesterday, we were all gifted something we could never have dreamed in a million years. That's next, coming up. All right, so yesterday, the Sabres and KeyBank announced a 10-year naming rights agreement extension.
Uh-huh.
And in what will be, unintentionally, I think, or intentionally. Like, the thing about memes is they could be good or they could be bad. But the video of Terry Pegula and the KeyBank CEO opening the doors to reveal naming rights extension 2036, the number of things I've already seen photoshopped, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Into the
video shop. Right,
sure,
really,
whatever. The first one I saw was they opened the doors, and it was a picture of Ville Leino in his shirt that said jail.
Yes.
The next one I saw was opening the doors and a picture of palm trees.
Palm trees. That was my favorite.
The opening of the doors to reveal things will live forever.
Yes.
It is also
credit to the Crossing Swords podcast. Yes. I saw do a lot of good work on that.
It's going to be incredible to see what we find in there.
Oh, that's going to live forever.
Ugh.
In 10 years, someone will make a meme with those doors opening.
Yeah.
You weren't watching it live, I assume, or were you? I threw it on live. I'm like, okay, this is they're opening doors. They're putting this big red key in for something. We already know that the naming rights extension has happened, not even through like a report.
Yeah.
The Sabres told us.
Yeah,
they tweeted it out hours before this press conference that, hey, the naming rights have been extended. So I'm watching and thinking, well, what are these doors? Oh, this key opening. So this has to be something else. This is either the lease or this is some event that they're having, or I don't know what.
Yeah.
And then they opened the doors to reveal something that they told us 2 hours ago. And yet became a meme in the process. And yet I'm happy that they did that because I think Sabre fans can have some fun with that. There were some other memeable things
also
that happened in that press conference, but
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
803-0550.
Did they, like, who was that for?
KeyBank.
It was for KeyBank?
Yes.
All right. That's probably right.
And the KeyBank Center. Next order of business.
It wasn't for the fans.
I've been saying this about the arena forever. I mean, they could, you know, we'll maybe talk to Pete Guelli soon, Bills and Sabres COO, about the idea of, like, when a renovation's coming, a new floor.
Did you see his comments about the seats yesterday? Like, an admission right there. Like, I like this. Like telling everyone, like, we know our seats are the worst in the league.
Okay.
And that has to be replaced, and that's going to be, like, top of the list when we get to whatever the long-term plan is. Once we have that long-term plan, like, seats being replaced is going to be right at the top of the list because they've never been replaced.
Yeah.
And also, there were some details that he talked about yesterday. Like, the season ticket base right now is 9,000. They'd like that to be at 12,000.
9,000.
9,000 right now. They want it to be at 12.
One point, it was capped at 16 with a waiting list.
Right.
Maybe more than 16 at one point.
And right now it's at 9.
9. Also, Chopin Bulldog just kind of casually discussed the idea of the Sabres moving. Did you catch that yesterday?
Yes.
It's like a casual.
Yes.
Yeah, the naming rights extended. At least they're not going to move. Well, I don't think it means they can't. And I thought, I wonder how many people have a casual conversation about that. I don't know. On a scale of 0 to 100, how much you should think about that. It might be less than 10.
I was going to say, I think about it more than I have a conversation about it.
Sure.
I can't remember ever having, like, a real conversation about it. But it's definitely something that I've just, like, casually thought about in the back of my mind. It's like, could they?
803-0550. All right, that's our phone number.
I think it's probably no, by the way.
Probably no. Yeah, right. I mean, whatever. But as you want to just throw it out there, they threw it out there, and I thought, like, that's a thing. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher, Sal at 8, and Rainey Fisher today. We'll keep you updated on practice plan. Sal at 8, special teams coordinator Chris Tabor at 9:15, Steve Tasker, 9:30 here from St. John Fisher.